All right, you guys ready to get started? Awesome. How did everyone enjoy the keynote? Good? Good stuff? Yeah? Awesome. So I'm really excited to be here today to show you what's new in the Visual Studio 2013 IDE. My name is Kathy Sullivan, and I'm a program manager on the IDE experience team in Visual Studio. How many of you guys are using Visual Studio 2012 today? Yeah, lots of hands. If you haven't heard, Update 3 was just released this morning, and so go check that out. How many of you are using 2010? Anything earlier? Okay, yep, I know. All right. So today I'm going to give you a whirlwind tour of the IDE, and I'm going to cover everything from connecting the IDE to your personalized profile and developer services, and also new productivity enhancements in the editor. Now, this is by no means a comprehensive list of all the improvements we've made in the IDE. And really, this talk just scrapes the surface of all the functionality and enhancements that you're going to find in 2013. Now, after this talk, we want you guys to go and install 2013. And we want you to send us your feedback. Tell us what you'd like us to focus on in the final release, also in upcoming releases, and especially tell us what you love. All right. Now, one quick and easy way for you to send us your feedback without even leaving the IDE is I'm going to zoom in, and you'll notice that we now have Send a Smile integrated right into the IDE. So those of you who are using Office 2013 right now, it's pretty much the same concept. You can either send us a smile or send us a frown. And please be as descriptive as possible. And exactly, this is going to help us figure out the sentiment in your comments. Now, you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner of the IDE that I can now sign into the IDE. Now, I know that almost everyone here probably uses more than a few devices, right? You have some at home, maybe you have a couple at the office. How many of you actually look forward to customizing the IDE? Your fonts and colors, no, put your hands down. your custom key bindings, right? It's definitely a challenge to make Visual Studio look and feel and work the way you want it to. Now, with that in mind, Visual Studio now allows you to start with a default installation. You can make your customizations, and then with future logins, we'll pull down your customized settings, and we'll also take care of things like product registration right from within the IDE. Now, by logging into the IDE, you'll get all these really great capabilities that I'm about to show you. Now, you might ask, which account should I use to log into the IDE? Well, if you have an MSDN account, you should use that one. Maybe you have a TFS service account, you should use that account. Otherwise, any other Microsoft account, whether it's a Outlook.com, Live.com, or Hotmail.com address, just to name a few, will work. So let's go and log into the IDE. And I'm going to actually use my own Microsoft account so that we can see the customizations that I've made to the IDE. And you'll notice that once I've logged in, you'll notice that I have line numbers on by default, and I also use the enhanced scroll bar, and I've also changed my font size to a larger font for today's presentation. And now in the upper right-hand corner, you'll notice that the IDE knows who I am. It shows me my name and also my personalized profile photo. And now I can also click on my ID card, and I can see the Microsoft account that I'm currently logged in with. And then I can actually see things like the TFS project that I'm connected to. And I'm actually connected to my visualstudio.com account. And now if I head down to account settings, you'll see this is the location where I can also sign out of the IDE if I need to. I can also access my profile here, and then information about the product. All right. Now, you might ask, what settings actually roam with my account? Well, there's a really easy way to find everything that you're looking for. So a lot of you are using 2012. How many of you actually use Quick Launch or know what it is? There's not enough hands out here. So quick launch is in the upper right-hand corner. A control queue from anywhere in the IDE is how you can get to this search box. This search box will help you find things that are in our main menus and also search over our hundreds of tools option pages. So control queue is the shortcut, to get up to the quick launch toolbar. And I'm just going to type in, I'm going to start typing the word synchronized. And you'll see that the first option that comes up shows me where I can go and customize the settings that are actually synchronized. Now, if you watch this real quick, you can see how I can use quick launch really fast to find things. So if I type synchronized again and just hit enter, you can see how I can get really quick at finding things without even having to really think about what I want to search for. So you'll see here that I can actually disable synchronizing my settings if I choose, or I can pick and choose the things that I want to roam. Maybe I only want to roam my custom key bindings, or maybe I have a different theme that I prefer at home and one that I prefer at work, so I don't want to roam those settings. Now, some of you might have noticed there is a search box in Tools Options. Control E is the shortcut to get up to the search box, and it's the same for all dialogues in Visual Studio, Control E. And can anyone think of a Tools Option page that has a lot of text, a lot of controls on it? Something that's really hard to use? Yeah, keyboard, that's a perfect one. So let's search for keyboard. And most of you are familiar with this dialog, those of you who are making custom key bindings. And this area here where I look at the key bindings that are available to me is really small. And I actually hate looking through this for the one I'm looking for. So instead, I'm going to go and resize Tools Options. And now I can see this really great list of commands here. Now, you guys obviously aren't excited enough. You've probably been waiting so long for us to resize Tools Options. thank you. All right. So next, I want to show you some of the enhancements that we've made to the start page. You'll see a lot of things that are familiar to you, like you can create a new project and open a project from the start page. We also allow you to open directly from Source Control, which will bring you to the Team Explorer Hub. We now have information in the main panel that shows you things that are relevant to the version of .NET in Visual Studio that you're currently using. And below, we also have a curated list of videos. And actually, I'm having some network issues, but normally you'd see your announcements here as well that are specific to the version of Visual Studio that you have installed. Now, how many of you have installed updates in Visual Studio 2012? All right. Do you guys recall if you used the balloon that was in the lower right-hand corner? It pops up in the taskbar area. Yeah. So while this balloon was actually really effective in getting you guys to install and adopt the updates, the balloon was very vague. It said, you have updates available. And you might wonder, well, what exactly do I have available to me? So we sort of bunched them all together, and we really didn't give you any insight or let you pick and choose the things you wanted to install. So what we've done in 2013 is we've realized that we needed a place to surface other messages or notifications that are relevant to your environment, but also relevant to your environment, but also specific to the things that you have installed or the way that you've set up your IDE. So you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, I have a new notifications flag. And right now, I have three notifications that that are new that I haven't taken a look at yet. So if I click on this badge, you'll see that the new notification center opens up. And you can see in the notification center that I have things like extension updates will show up in here. And I also have things like product updates. So if we were to release product updates for 2013, you'd go and find them here in this notification center. And I also can install offline help here if I choose. I'll show you in a minute how we've streamlined the first launch experience. And we've removed the place where you would install help there. And now we're going to notify you in here so that we can streamline that experience. Now, if I want to go and install one of these updates, for example, I would simply click on the title of the notification, and it brings me to the place where I can install this update. One of our goals was to never install something without you explicitly clicking on it. We want to take you to the place where you can make a decision if you want to install it or not. Now, thank you, yes. Now, if I don't want the Azure SDK, I can simply dismiss this notification, and unlike the toast, we won't continue to nag you about this notification. Now, you'll see that there's a couple different severities of notifications. For the most part, you're going to see that a lot of them are informational. It's up to you to make the decision. You can continue working without them. Sometimes we may need to surface an important notification, which will be colored yellow, or a critical one, which will be colored red. And think of things like a red notification as something that might keep you from using the IDE or continuing to work. Now, we really want you to think of this as a to-do list environment. We want you to be able to take a look at it and come back to it when you have a chance or you have a time to sort of go through it and see what's going on. These notifications will expire after 30 days, and we won't show you a new notification until a new update came in, for example, for that particular notification. And you'll see if I move my cursor out of the hub, it collapses into this side. We didn't want to block your code or your solution or your projects. So just to recap this section real quick, I showed you how you can now sign into the IDE with your Microsoft account. And now you can invest in customizing your IDE just once. I showed you how you can set up your IDE and we'll synchronize your settings across your machines. And this is going to help you get up and running faster so you can start coding right away. I then showed you our new Notification Center, how we'll help you keep Visual Studio up to date, and we'll let you determine what's important to you and pick and choose what you'd like to take an action on. You can come back to the hub later and take a look at it when you have a chance. And now we have one common location in the IDE where we can surface all things that are relevant to you and specific to your environment. So next I want to talk about some of the theme improvements and visual design updates that we've made to the IDE. Now, we've provided more choice with Visual Studio 2013. When you first launch the IDE, you'll see that we have the ability to sign in directly when we launch the IDE. Now, in the preview, you're actually going to be required to sign into the IDE, but this is just so that we could exercise some of the back-end resources to make sure that we can handle the load for the final release. But here, I can choose to sign in now, or I can choose to sign in later, and I can continue to use the IDE just like I could in 2012, for example. Now, the next screen you'd see, if you chose not to sign in, would be the screen to select your development settings, which a lot of you are familiar with, whether it's general settings, C#, C++, or VB, just to name a few. And then you can choose your color theme. And here we have an alphabetized list, and really we wanted to surface the notion that there are three different themes that you can pick to customize your environment. And we really wanted to make sure that you end up on a theme that you're most happy with the first time you launch Visual Studio. Now you'll also notice that we've introduced a blue theme. And for those of you who have used some of our updates, you'll notice that we introduced the blue theme in one of our updates, but now it's part of the product. We heard a lot of feedback that the white theme was a little too washed out, and the dark theme was a little too dark for some. So that's why we've brought you this sort of mid-range color theme. Thank you. Now, in addition, thank you. We've actually enhanced all the themes, including the light and dark theme, based on a lot of feedback that we've heard since we released 2013. You wanted more color in some of the icons, so we've added additional color. And yes. And we've also improved the clarity of a lot of icons so that you can better distinguish what they are and get your work done a lot faster. We also added more contrast to the line work around tool windows and spaces in the IDE. It was actually really difficult to figure out how to make things bigger, for example, and I would move my mouse, and where's that drag point so I can go and make things bigger or smaller. We also added more contrast in our hover colors so you can see what item you actually have underneath your cursor. And we actually did the same for scroll bars so you can more easily figure out which scroll bars are active and which ones are inactive. And similarly, a lot of you are using multiple instances of Visual Studio at the same time. And it was really hard to determine which one was active and which one was not. So I'll show you that in a second. And like you saw this morning, there's a lot of new devices with really high dense screens that are already here and are coming in the next year. And what we wanted to do is make sure that Visual Studio looks beautiful on those screens as well. Thank you. All right. So back to Visual Studio. You'll now see, I want to switch real quick to the light theme. Because I can best show you some of the line work changes. If I zoom in the bottom, you'll now see the contrast between the editor and the Solution Explorer, for example. And now I can very easily figure out how to expand and make these regions bigger, like I mentioned. You'll also see that my hover color is now a blue color. And before it was a light gray color, so it blended in with the background that it was on. And you'll also see in the Solution Explorer that we've added sort of that splash of color across the IDE so that you can see things that should be acting as beacons for you to find your way around. And we also see, if you look at the bottom of our config files, any of our file types, we went and reduced the line weight of these icons because they were really feeling a little heavy and they were drawing unnecessary attention to them. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of you are using multiple instances of VS. And now you'll notice I can easily see that my active instance has the purple Visual Studio logo, and the inactive one actually has a gray color. So this is going to help you work between multiple instances a lot easier. Now, how many of you have a Surface Pro, or maybe you have some other, yeah, well, that was a silly question. Now you all have Surface Pros, and you're going to be able to use Visual Studio on it, and you're going to notice that it looks beautiful. Along with Windows and other applications that are in the Microsoft family, we've spent the past few months making sure that Visual Studio looks beautiful. Windows 8.1 is going to work on a lot of devices by default at 100%, 150%, excuse me, and 200% DPI scaling. And some of you who have already started to use Visual Studio 2012 on some of these dense screens, you've probably noticed that there's a lot of areas in the IDE where it's really hard to get your work done and write code. So what we've done is every team in Visual Studio had a hand in making Visual Studio look great this release. We addressed a lot of areas where we had clipped text or buttons that were too small or icons that you really couldn't see what they looked like at 200% scaling. And we fixed over 200 high DPI bugs across the product. And what I'll do is I'll show you just a few examples of them as well. You'll see here in the toolbox in the Solution Explorer, this is actually, the screenshot's at 200%. You'll see that those icons are very hard to discern. And then you'll also see on the import and export wizard that those are actually checkboxes, but you'd really have no idea. You'd probably have to zoom in on those. And then lastly, this is the project properties page for the WPF application, and those are text areas, but I really hope that you can get your mouse in there and figure out how to type something in there. So these is just a few of the things that we've addressed in Visual Studio. Now, we're not done with making Visual Studio look beautiful on these high-dense screens. We're going to continue to enhance the experience over the next releases. We really want you to be able to design and build on all form factors and all displays with Visual Studio. So next, I'm going to walk you through some of the editor productivity enhancements that we've made. Now, in Visual Studio 2012, some of you might be familiar with some of these new improvements we made, but I do want to show this anyway for those of you who aren't. In 2012, we focused on streamlining the find and replace experience. So if I hit Control F, you'll see that the find dialog is now sort of docked in the upper right-hand corner of the editor. It stays out of my way, and I also have match highlighting. So you'll see the yellow color, or the goldish color that's highlighting all my matches of that instance. We also combine functionality of common tool windows like the object browser, class view, call hierarchy, and we brought a lot of that functionality right into the Solution Explorer. So you'll now see that I can expand my class files and I can continue to drill into them to see what the class is and the types and members that also belong to it. Now in 2013, we continue to invest on helping you navigate your code faster. Think of moving around your code and trying to understand it. And also understanding your code in place. It's really hard if you're trying to understand a piece of code and then we take you somewhere else and you can't find your way back very easily. So we're going to help you understand code in place without losing your context. Now we really think that these improvements will help you find what you're looking for and help you find it faster than ever. So, I bet a bunch of you are using the productivity power tools now. Yes? Yeah. So with every release, we take a really hard look at what the top productivity power tool features are, and we try to bring them into the product. And that's exactly what we've done in 2013. So if you're familiar with auto brace completion, it's now integrated right into the product. So if I start, typing a method here, and then I type the first brace, Visual Studio will go and complete the second brace for you. And we think that this is going to help you write more correct code and also save you time by completing your braces for you. Now you'll also see on the right-hand side, as I mentioned earlier, I'm using the enhanced scroll bar. And this was actually the top requested feature from the productivity power tools. And that's exactly why we brought it into the product. Now, the enhanced scroll bar has a lot of information in it. It has annotations to help me find things that I normally would have to scroll through my code or use my keyboard to navigate through. So if I right-click on the scroll bar and head down to scroll bar options, this is where I can customize the scroll bar that I choose. And I'm just going to make this a little smaller. You'll notice that I have two different modes. I have a bar mode and a map mode for the enhanced scroll bar. And the bar mode is exactly what you're familiar with in Windows today. It's a traditional scroll bar. The map mode actually has three different views. It has a narrow and a medium and a wide view. And I can also choose to show the preview of the scroll bar as well, which is in the form of a tooltip. So I actually have the medium scroll bar with the preview on. And in here you'll see I have a change, which is identified by that yellow annotation. The red annotation shows me that I have an error in my code. And then a little further down I have some maroon annotations, and those are breakpoints that I've set. Now, how many times have you set those breakpoints and you have no idea where they are in your code? Well, you can use the enhanced scroll bar to help you find those breakpoints. You'll also see that the blue line that goes across the enhanced scroll bar is where my current caret position is. And now you can see that I can click around and Visual Studio will adjust the editor so I can sort of scroll to click as well. And I get this really neat preview that sort of gives me a zoomed in view of my code so that I can make a better decision about if I want to go there or not before I actually click or browse away. Now, I can also move lines up and down very quickly by holding down the Alt key. So holding down the Alt key and using the up and down arrow, you'll see, will move around this line of code very easily. I can also take a bunch of lines of code and move them around as well, just like I could with a single line of code. So if you've used Navigate 2 before, you're probably familiar with the dialog that pops up. It's a blocking dialog, and pretty much when you invoke it with control comma, which is the shortcut, you've made a decision to go and navigate somewhere. And if you want to take a look at your code behind it, you have to close the dialog and go back to your code. What we've tried to do in 2013 is improve this experience and provide you a real-time preview so that you can make better decisions before you actually navigate to that code. It's now a non-modal inline dialog. So control comma is the same shortcut, but you'll now see that it's in the same location where the find and replace dialog is found. And I still get a lot of that rich information. I get some icons to help me determine what it is I'm looking at. I get the class name, and then I also get the path below. And for those of you who are not familiar with the preview tab, which we released in 2012, I'll zoom in a little bit. It's this purple tab in the right-hand corner. This purple tab is pretty awesome. It's going to keep your document well clean as you look at things that you don't necessarily want to commit or keep open for a long time, but you just want to take a quick preview at it. Now, this preview tab is reusable, so if I were to go and click on something in Solution Explorer that I do not currently have open, it would preview that in the preview tab, so it would replace what I currently have open here. If I want to commit this preview tab to my document well, I can simply click on the Promote button in the tab, and then I can keep it open, and it will join the other tabs on the left. So let's try this one more time. So control comma invokes the dialog. And now you'll notice as I browse around this, this is actually a shorter list than I wanted to bring up, but it will jump to that location in the editor. And if I had a few different files I didn't have open, we'd reuse the preview tab in this instance as well. Now, escape will take me back to the location I was. Did you see I was in the preview tab? So control comma, and watch closely. Escape brings me back to the file where I was before, and my cursor is still in the same position where I had it. Now, the goal here is to get you where you want and then get out of your way. So you can see how I can jump around in this Navigate 2 experience, and I can actually find things I'm looking for with the least amount of steps. So the next steps for the Navigate 2 feature, or the new experience for it, if you guys are still using 2012, you can actually go and download the inline Navigate 2 experience and the Extensions and Updates Manager and begin using it in 2012 before you actually move to 2013. Now, I'm going to show you real quick a few of the enhancements that we've made to the C++ editing experience. Similarly to how I showed you in a C# example, I can now start typing a new class here. And you'll notice that in C++, we go and complete the brace for you and also the semicolon, because oftentimes the semicolon is also forgotten. I can also go and do the same thing for things like comments as well. And we will also complete quotes for you. So if I'm going to define a string, we'll go and complete the second quote as well. Now, along with auto brace completion, we've also introduced automatic code formatting for C++. So if I want to go and define a new variable, int x, and then 1 + 2, as soon as I add the semicolon, you'll see that my code is auto-formatted with the correct spaces. Now, these are just the first steps that we're taking in C++ to help you write better code and write it faster for you. And using Quick Launch, I want to show you that if you don't want some of these things turned on, or you want to pick and choose how we format your code, we can bring you to the Tools Options page to make those customizations. So again, Control Q to get to Quick Launch. And I will type in C++ formatting. And you'll see here that we have a few different categories that we can now customize in our C++ code. We have some general customizations, what happens when I type a semicolon or the final curly brace. I also have some choices I can make around my indentation preferences, my new line preferences, and also my spacing and my wrapping as well. Now, the team would really love your feedback on what the default settings should be here. They sort of took a first stab here, so if you have any comments or suggestions, please send them our way. Now, I do want to call out that, as you can see here, the enhanced scroll bar also works for C++. All right, I'm going to head over to this other instance that I already have open. And I'm going to show you a couple really cool things that are going to help you find things a lot faster in your code base. So imagine that I have this new code base, and I'm trying to find my way around, and it's brand new to me. I've never seen it before. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. If I head over to my search view model, and down here, I can, hit F12 to go to the definition. And that's great. It opens in the preview tab, so it's not cluttering my document well. And now I have to figure out how to get back to that class file. And lucky for me, it's actually the first file that I have open here. But in most cases, that's not the case, since you probably have lots of files open. And you've probably reverted to looking in the document overflow area. And maybe you're a little frustrated right now in how to get back. So instead, you can use Alt F12 to invoke what we call the peek window. And you don't have to remember these shortcuts, because I actually have a cheat sheet later if you guys want to come up and get one for me. Or you can send me a tweet or send me an email, and I can send you a soft copy of it as well. So Alt F12 now brings up this peek into my code. It's essentially the same thing as go to definition, but now it's in line. It's sort of pushed my code out of the way. It's not obscuring my code. You'll see the line numbers. I still see line 17 and 18. But now it's given me a peek into this code, and I haven't even had to take my context away from where I currently am. This window's a little small, but you'll see that I have the enhanced scroll bar to help me find my way around and find the things that I'm looking for. Now, just like the preview tab, I can promote this to the document well and keep it open if I care about it. And I can also continue to keep drilling in this peek window. Let's say I'm looking around and, I think I want to take a look at this service proxy. Well, I can Alt F12 on it again. And let's say I want to take a look at this earthquake event, Alt F12. And you'll see that now I have a breadcrumb trail of where I've been. So I can go forward and backward in the peek window. Yes. And I also have shortcuts. So it's Control Alt Plus and Control Alt Minus will bring me forward and backward within the peek window. So you'll see here that I can take a peek into things and go to the definition without even taking my hands off the keyboard. Now, like the new Navigate 2 experience, Escape closes the peek window, and then you'll notice that my code is brought back together. And I haven't even left the context of this file to go and look at that definition. Now you might ask, can I edit in the peek window? Well, the ability to edit in the peek window is something that the team is considering for the final release of 2013. So keep your eyes out for it. Now the next thing I want to show you is something that we call Code Lens. And we know that sometimes it's hard to find out what's actually happened to your code, right? Who last checked this in, right? Who tested this code, for example? What changes were made to it, right? I would have to go and open up other tool windows to find that information. And similarly to how a GPS system helps you find your way around, it helps you find upcoming exits, or maybe points of interest, or just simply provides you directions. Think of Code Lens as giving you a heads up into what's happened in your code. Think of it like a GPS for your code. Now today I'm going to show you two possible code indicators. Code Lenses. And if I zoom in, you'll see right above line 16 that I have a lens for references, and then I have a lens for the test status of the unit tests I have associated with this project. And if I click on references, you'll see that I get this little pop-up that comes up and shows me all of the references highlighted with the blue color. And I can use my keyboard to scroll through these. And if I choose to go and look at one, I can hit enter and it will go and open that file in the preview tab if I don't have it open, or it will jump to that location. And escape closes that lens. You'll then see in my test status code lens that I get a visual indicator that this test pass, that this unit test has actually run successfully. And then I can also double click on it, and again, it will open it in the preview tab so that I can take a quick look at it. Now, there are some shortcuts to access these lenses. If I hold down the Alt key, you'll see that the number 2 and the number 3 show up above them. You might ask, why is number 1 missing? Well, I'm not showing you the number 1 indicator. So Alt 2 brings up the references. Escape closes it. And then Alt 3 brings up my test lens. Now, there's actually a bunch of other lenses. So if I go up to Quick Launch, Control Q, and they're actually under Code Information Indicators in the Tools Options window. You'll see here that I have a bunch of other really rich information. You can imagine that, like I said, TFS has all this information. Why can't I just see it in line with my code? So we'll show you things like who the function was last tested by. We'll show you the authors and who's made changes recently. And then from there, you can click on those change sets, and we'll immediately open them for you. Now, I think it's later on at 2 o'clock today, Andrew Bragdon's going to go deep dive into these code lenses. So if you're interested, you should check out his session. And at the end of the talk, I have the name of the session and the location of it as well. So just to recap real quick on the editor productivity section, I showed you auto brace completion, how it will help you write more correct code and faster. I showed you move line up and down, which is going to be really helpful if you're doing some inline refactoring. I then showed you the enhanced scroll bar and how we'll give you a bunch of really rich annotations to help you find your way around your code before you click. Then the new Navigate 2 experience and how we won't block you from looking at your code and you can navigate to things in line. I then showed you Peek, how we'll push down your code and show you that definition, let you continue to drill in, and then Escape will close the window and you haven't even left the context of what you were working on. And lastly, I showed you Code Lens, which, like I said, think of it as a GPS for your code. And Andrew will show you a bunch of the other lenses later today. So lastly, I want to talk to you about performance. Now, in Visual Studio 2012, we focused very heavily in all teams across Visual Studio on improving the performance of the IDE. We improved performance in areas like typing and scrolling, and removing a lot of those hangs that you were experiencing. We also improved solution load time, and we've moved those operations into the background threads so that they're now asynchronous. And this means that you can open your projects. Let's say you have hundreds and hundreds of projects in a solution. You can open that solution file, and you can begin to work on it immediately with IntelliSense available to you. You can type and you can scroll, just like you could if the solution was already loaded. And we also did the same thing for solution build, so that you can do things while your solution is building. Yes. Now, in 2013, we're also continuing to invest in these areas. Now, one of the ways that you can help us find out what are the pain points or the things that you're experiencing that are making you sit and wait for a long time are to join our Customer Experience Improvement Program. Now, this is one of the easiest ways for you to give us feedback. We get a lot of our performance improvement, or the things that we choose to make improvements on, actually come from this program. And we're able to make investments in these areas by analyzing the data that comes from you guys, and then act on it and ultimately incorporate it into the product. So just one example of what you'll find in 2013 is C++ configuration switching. Now, As you see here, what I mean by that is when you switch between a debug and a release configuration or a custom configuration that you have. You'll see that the first time that you switch with a C++ project, that you're actually going to wait 170 seconds in Visual Studio 2012. And in 2013, you're now only going to wait 40 seconds. But wait, it gets better, right? So that's a 325% improvement. On some subsequent switches, you're going to wait even less. You're going to wait half a second in Visual Studio 2013. And that's a pretty amazing improvement. Now, we've also went and invested on improving the experience of using symbols. We've now made the symbol loading dialog truly cancelable. So if you need to cancel that operation, you can go and cancel it. We'll also let you know in the modules window which symbols have actually been canceled and that were not loaded. We'll also record the missed symbol files as well. And to improve the performance, we won't go and try and reload those symbols if we couldn't find the path for them. We also started caching more aggressively a lot of these loading paths and some of the operations that we were performing. And now we'll be able to earlier detect bad symbol paths so that you can bail out sooner and continue with your work. And lastly, we've now allowed the ability to trust a source symbol server, for example, a TFS server, so that you won't get those security dialogs popping up on you. And you can go and configure that in the tools options dialog. So the last demo I have for you guys today is a solution load performance demo. And this is an example of the asynchronous solution loading that I was just telling you about. Now, I'm going to set this up with you guys first before I do this, because the demo is going to happen pretty quickly. I have a 600 megabyte solution that contains 40,000 C++ files. And as soon as I load it, I'm going to point out in Solution Explorer, we have a progress bar that's going to show us how many projects we've actually loaded. Now, while it's loading, I'm going to go and do things like I'm going to type, and I'm going to scroll, and I'm going to use IntelliSense. And then I'm also going to do some global operations like a rebuild, for example. And you'll notice that when I do any of these, my solution is going to pause loading. Now, I've left a handful of files open. And the ones that I have open are the ones that we're going to load first, because that usually means that you're working on a part of your project or solution, and you want to get to work on the things that you last left open. So let's go and load this project. And like I said, I'm going to point out, you'll see that my solution is loading here in the Solution Explorer area there. And now I can start typing. You'll notice that IntelliSense is available to me right away. You'll see that the solution is actually paused loading, right? And I can also scroll through this file, and the solution pauses loading as I want to go and perform operations like this. Now, if I want to go and rebuild my solution, this is the time where we'll go get something that we haven't loaded, for example, that the rebuild relies on. And unlike in previous versions, 2010 and earlier, I can also now cancel this build, which I couldn't do before. So you'll see here how Visual Studio will defer the loading of things that you don't need right away so that you can get to work a lot faster and spend less time waiting for your solutions to load and also build. All right, so to recap what we talked about today, showed you guys how you can log into the IDE now and take all your customizations with you. You only need to invest in customizing the IDE once now. Then I showed you the new theme changes we've made and the visual design updates to help you work more effectively in the IDE and find things that you're looking for. I then showed you some of the new editor productivity enhancements like Peak and Code Lens and the new Navigate 2 experience. And lastly, I showed you how we're continuing to improve the performance of Visual Studio, and we're not gonna stop here. So, as always, check out our blogs. We have some really great series coming that are gonna highlight a lot of these new features and go even deeper than I've gone today. We want you to get involved. We want you to install the preview, and we truly do want your feedback. We do read every single piece of feedback on our blogs, on User Voice, and any issues that you encounter on our Connect site. And also, I showed you, you can use Send a Smile to send really quick feedback right from within the IDE without even leaving the context of what you're working on. And this is the talk I was telling you about later today at 2 o'clock that Andrew Bragdon will go a lot deeper into these new code lenses that we have available to us and how TFS is going to light them up. And lastly, this is actually a truly unique experience. We've said that we want to ship faster, and we are. And one of the things we need to do is get your early feedback. We have some ideas on where we can take the user experience of Visual Studio, and we want to share them with you. So please either sign up at this email address, or you can come to the room, and we have some really great stuff to share with you guys. So this is the first time we're sharing some of these early concepts and potential designs with the public outside of Microsoft. So if you're able to attend, I also have some flyers for these if you'd like to take some of them with you with the email address. And that's all I had for today. Thank you very much for coming.